1220 The Word, or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And what a beautiful day it's turned out to be here in northeastern Ohio. The temperature's a little bit chilly the last couple of nights. Night before last, we got down to 45 at our house, and last night we got down to 48 or 49, I guess it was. And I was telling somebody earlier about they're starting to talk about global cooling again and a coming ice age. And that's a matter of time, probably in about another 5 years or so, if things keep going this way. Everybody will forget about global warming. We'll all be worried about the ice age coming like we were in the 70s. And it'll be for the same reason, just like in the 70s, the same reason that everybody worried about global warming. It'll be we're driving our cars too much, we're heating our houses too much in the winter and cooling them too much in the summer, and the key is to raise taxes on everything, and that's sure to help us fight and keep the ice age from coming, or the global warming from coming. Just drop in the appropriate one depending on what the climate seems to be doing at any given time. Of course, the truth of the matter is the climate does tend to vary. We've had warm spells, we've had cool spells, and what people don't like to tell you is that back in the, I think it was in the late 1880s or 1890s perhaps, National Geographic actually ran an article about how somebody sailed around through the Arctic Ocean around the northern part of North America because it actually was ice-free enough they were able to go from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And, of course, then it got cold again and froze up and everybody forgot about that. And then when it started getting warm again in the 80s and 90s, then they start talking about, oh, the ice is going away. I just read something that the ice in Antarctica is, I guess it's about the thickest it's been in quite some time. And it's growing very thick, and of course that makes sense. It's winter time in Antarctica right now. In the southern hemisphere, it's winter. Northern hemisphere, it's summer. But we are not going to spend all our time today talking about that. A little bit of a rabbit trail there. But welcome to the program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you today with your question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Help us, Lord, to help people to see that it makes sense to believe the Bible, to believe the Bible is your word, and to believe that the Bible and its account of man's sin and the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, as he shed his blood to pay for our sins, is true, and it's believable, and it is reasonable to believe and accept that as the only payment for our sins. Lord, we just pray that through the program that somebody might come to Christ, and that those that are saved might be strengthened in their walk with you. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to share an article here that I picked up, and of course, it's tempting to talk a lot about Egypt and just the terrible things that are going on there right now, but there's more happening in the world. We might touch on Egypt a little later in the program, but there's a lot happening in various parts of the world. About a month or so ago, I think it was, maybe not quite, I had mentioned, I believe, about an Air Force chaplain who had posted an article that used the expression atheist in the foxholes. It was actually an essay that he had. And that phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes, is a pretty common phrase. Most people have heard that, and it's a fairly innocuous phrase. But, of course, the hypersensitive on the left took great offense to that, and they deemed it hate speech and all kinds of things, and so they demanded that this chaplain be punished as a result. Well, cooler heads have finally prevailed, and you know, sometimes things work out. Sometimes people get things right despite what's going on. There's a article that I read just the other day, I think it was on WorldNet Daily, that says that rather than give in to the demands to punish the Air Force chaplain, the Air Force has instead reposted the article in the chaplain section of the base website. And the quote from the Alliance Defending Freedom of Litigation Council Representative Kelly Federick said, "Chaplains have the freedom and obligation to speak about faith and religious values, and this freedom should not be censored nor prohibited. The Air Force should be commended for recognizing this and returning Chaplain Rye's essay to the Chaplain's Corner portion of his base's website." Basically, the story is on July 7th this past July, Lieutenant Colonel Kenneth Rye, the chaplain in question, posted a devotional article on the Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson website in the Chaplain's Corner, which is where it was in the first place, called "No Atheists in Foxholes. Chaplains Gave All in World War II." Now, that's not hate speech by any means. That's he was just making a statement or a title to his article based on a famous phrase, and goes on to talk about how the phrase "No Atheists in the Foxholes" was attributed to President Eisenhower, who of course was the Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces in World War II, and he actually used it in remarks in an American Legion program broadcast from the White House on February 7, 1954. Rye, however, said that he found, when researching the phrase, that it actually goes back to a Catholic priest earlier in World War II. In World War II, there was a gentleman by the name of Roy Bodine, who was a friend of Chaplain Rye, who was a prisoner of war with the Japanese, and he said that that phrase was should be credited to Father William Cummings, a civilian missionary Catholic priest who was in the Philippines during a battle there. I believe it was the Battle of Corregidor, and during the siege, Cummings noticed that non-Catholics were attending his services, and he said that some that he knew were not Catholic, and some were not religious, and some were even known to be atheists. And then he made the statement that even the strongest beliefs can change, and I might add, can go both ways. People can either be drawn to or away from faith. And so with the impending surrender of the Allied forces there in the Philippines to the Japanese, Cummings uttered the famous phrase, "There is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole." Now, that statement there was drawn upon what he was seeing, and he made a statement, a nice pithy statement, that really kind of sums things up. We understand that in times of pressure, in times of challenge, in times of trouble, people will turn to God. Even people who normally don't talk much about God will turn to God. Back in 2011, after the terror attacks on September 11, 2001, when people were worried about what had happened in New York City, what had happened at the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania, and the other things that were going on, there was an uptick in people attending church. There was an interest in God, and people were more open about their faith. Even members of Congress went out on the steps and sang "God Bless America." But of course, when things seemed to settle down, and after a while, people got comfortable again, and sadly, there really was no apparent permanent increase in church attendance as a result of that. But we do see that phenomenon that when people have trouble, they go to church, they pray, they turn to God, people who never would at any other time. And that's what led to that Catholic priest making that statement in the Philippines, "There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole." Atheism is kind of one of those subjects that, or one of those beliefs that's, in a sense, it's a luxury belief. It's a belief that you can have that belief in good times. You can have that belief when you aren't pressed with too many troubles and things of that nature. And when you're not so much worried about sickness, not so much worried about turmoil in the world, atheism seems to be on the uptick at times. And you know, it's a luxury belief. But when you're faced with turmoil on a regular basis, when you're faced with people getting sick and dying, even atheists will often question their faith. You know, even Christians will question their faith from time to time. But we have a sure foundation for our faith. Our foundation, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in a couple of spots, actually Psalm 14:1 as well as in Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And that's because when you see the evidence of God in the world around us, it really is rather foolish to just simply say God does not exist. To say that because, as a guy at the Medina County Fair a couple of weeks ago said, because he didn't believe it, it can't be true. Well, that's a rather foolish position to take. To say that I know everything, so I can conclusively say there is no God, that's a rather foolish statement. Now, I suppose in a sense an agnostic who says, well, I don't know, there could be a God or there might not be a God. To me, that's a little more intellectually honest, because how can I say that God doesn't exist anywhere in the universe? You know, we live in a very, 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 very minuscule, tiny sliver of a vast universe. And out of the trillions and trillions of stars in this universe and probably billions or more galaxies in this universe, and all that vastness of space, to say, I know that in all of that space, there is no God. Well, I'm sorry, that's a rather foolish position. And it eventually just devolves down to your opinion. And like the gentleman I mentioned at the Medina County Fair, there was something about God that he couldn't believe. And so he said, I don't believe. Because I can't believe it, it can't be true. Well, there's a lot of things I don't believe that turn out to be true, even though I don't want to believe them. I remember one time when I was in the Air Force, I was flying in this particular airplane, and the guy said, now look, if we have to get out of the airplane fast, there's where the emergency hatches are, and the seat that you're sitting in, that's your parachute. And the seat belt that you have on, there's shoulder straps, just put them over your shoulders. There's a belt on the floor, just bring that up and buckle that to the belt at your waist. And when you stand up, the seat will come with you, and just go out through one of these escape hatches here. And he said, don't expect us to be around to show you how to do it, because we'll already be gone by that time. And I'm looking out, you know, we're flying over the North Atlantic Ocean. I can see icebergs down below, and I'm thinking, right, I'm going to survive having never parachuted out of an airplane before. I'm going to survive that trip down and just drop into the water and survive in that frigid water if I miss the iceberg and not get eaten by a shark or something until somebody picks me up. Okay. I think I'll just sit here in the airplane and believe that the airplane will land itself safely and I'll be okay. Well, I can believe how I want to, but it's not going to happen. And I can say, I don't believe this airplane's going to crash. Or I could even say, well, I'll jump out of the airplane and I'll not worry about my parachute. And I don't believe that I'll fall to my death. Well, I can believe that all I want to. That doesn't make it true. And you can believe all you want to various things about God. You can come up with your reasons why you don't think God exists. You can come up with your reasons why you don't think the Bible is true. And doesn't matter. Fool said in his heart, there is no God. Because you reject it doesn't mean that it has to be untrue. It just means that you found a reason that justifies your rejection of the Word of God. I believe it's reasonable to believe the Bible. I believe it's reasonable to believe that God exists. And if you think about it, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Obviously, there is a beginning to the universe, and we don't understand and exactly how God did everything, and I certainly can't explain everything about creation, but people who believe in the Big Bang and things like that, they certainly can't explain everything either. In fact, I just saw an article about a week or so ago where they were claiming a picture of what the universe would have looked like shortly after the Big Bang. And they said it was somewhere in the range of 100 years after the Big Bang to 300,000 years after the Big Bang. That's a pretty broad area of range. But it got even better. They said in this article, now, when you hear about the age of the universe, you usually hear people say, oh, the universe is 13.7 billion years old or something like that. And they give you this type of phrase. And what they don't tell you is that they actually believe there's a range. And this article, which is actually written by people who believe in the Big Bang, they said that that they believe that the Big Bang occurred somewhere between 0.037 billion years ago and 13.789 or so billion years ago. And they put billion in there, and that sounds like a long time. But when you take a look and stop and think what 0.037 billion years ago is, you know what that is? That's 37 million years ago. It's a really, really, really big range of years between 37 million years ago and nearly 14 billion years ago. Remember, that's 37 million with an M, M as in Michael, and nearly 14 billion, that's with a B as in Bill. So that's a pretty wide range. And so they're kind of hedging their bets there. Of course, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it ultimately comes down to this, and I like what I read a book by Dave Hunt, and I kind of adapted a phrase that he had in there, that you have to believe that the universe was created either, or came into being either as a result of an eternal something that had unlimited potential, or an eternal someone that had unlimited power, and I'm going with the unlimited someone because it makes a lot more sense. In the beginning, God would be that eternal someone, and I remember talking with another guy one time, and he said that I was rather foolish for believing that God always existed, that he had no beginning, and that God, in his unlimited power, or in his ability, he spoke and created all that exists. And I asked him what he believed, and he said he believed in the Big Bang, and he believed that the singularity, which was a minuscule point of essentially nothingness, that had all the mass and energy of the universe concentrated in it. And he said that this point of nothingness exploded and basically caused everything that we see today to occur, including the ability of me to speak on the radio. And I said, well, where did that singularity come from? And he said, well, we believe it always existed. It just existed. And I said, so it wasn't created? It didn't come into being? No, it always existed. And I smiled, and then he realized what I was saying, because he had just called me foolish for believing God always existed and had no creator, no origin. And he's telling me that the singularity always existed and had no origin. Well, I don't know about you, but to me it makes more sense to believe that God spoke and everything came into existence. I'll give you another example of that too. One of the things that I learned when I was studying biology, starting in junior high school all the way up through college studying biology, is the law that states, the law of biogenesis, which states that life gives forth life. And there is no such thing as abiogenesis, meaning they used to believe at one time that if you had a pile of rags sitting in the corner and you left them undisturbed for a while, somehow magically those rags would turn into mice, some of them would. and they would produce mice. That was called spontaneous generation, and people believed that. They also believed that if you had a hunk of meat that was sitting there, and of course it's dead, and it's lying there, and that if you left it sit there long enough, spontaneously it would turn into maggots, which would then turn into flies. Of course, the maggots is the larval stage of the fly, and where the maggots came from, they didn't know. They believed it was spontaneously generated. Excuse me. And so that spontaneous generation was disproved. Louis Pasteur did a famous experiment where he put some broth into some specially designed beakers where the neck had designed to be like a gooseneck, and everything was sterilized and heated, and the gooseneck formed like a trap, like you would have on the bottom of your sink, to keep air from going in. And he had some then that had a straight neck where air could go in and be exchanged with the air inside of the vials or the flasks. And lo and behold, the flasks with the straight necks, they began to spoil and began to stink and began to decay and produce various microorganisms. And the ones in the goosenecked flasks, they stayed pure. They didn't spoil. And that was because the microbes that are in the air around us were prevented from getting in there. And those flasks were on display in France. I think they're still on display today, unspoiled, unless somebody goes up and blows into one of the flasks. That would ruin the whole thing. But that was one of the experiments that was used to prove that life does not spontaneously generate from non-life. And yet, even though the evolutionists believe that is true, they suspend that belief because they believe that when the Big Bang occurred, everything was dead, inanimate material and energy, matter and energy, and that at some point in time, non-life gave rise to life. And that's what they believe. So they believe in that life is required to give rise to life, except in the case of the origin of life. In that case, they make an exception. And they also believe in a violation of the law of entropy or the second law of thermodynamics. And we know that things go from order to disorder. And we understand, you know, you look at your kid's room, you get it all cleaned up, and how long does it take to get messy again? It doesn't get clean spontaneously. It gets messy all on its own. Things go from order to disorder. Things go from organized to randomized. Energy goes from a state which it has potential to more dispersed and less potential. And we see that. Except, of course, in the case of the Big Bang, that law is also violated, where things went from a highly disorganized state of an explosion into the highly organized state that we see today. And there's other violations of information, origin of information, and things like that. You can have a variety of things organized without having a great deal of information in the system, a crystal lattice, for instance. But the DNA molecule, which is the most information-dense thing known to man, is an incredible, incredible feat of information technology and storage. And it shows the hand of a creator. Now, having said all this and talking about why it's reasonable to believe that there is a God, that shows that it's unreasonable to say there is no God. If there is a God, then we have a relationship with Him. And the Bible is the message of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with me. And the Bible is His word that tells us not only that He exists, but how to have that relationship. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as a result, we can't be allowed in heaven with Him because of our sin. One little flaw would destroy the absolute perfection of God's presence. And so we need to be made righteous in Christ. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross, where He suffered and died and shed His blood to pay for our sins. As a result, we can have salvation by trusting Christ as our Savior. Why don't you do that if you haven't done that today? trust the Creator of the universe as your Savior.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have